Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
In Psalm 121, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now think about the one that's giving you the help. This is not some economic system of the world. This is not some government ploy of men. This is not some religious effort to control. But this is the God of the universe. Now think about that. The one that is helping you is the one that formed the stars, that gave the glitter and the twinkle of those stars in the night, the one that created the shimmering of the moon, the one that created the hot, fiery sun that gives light to our particular galaxy. So think about that when you are confused and you are caught in the chaos of a conflict and you're wondering, how are you going to get out of this? How are you going to face this adversity? How are you going to overcome the stress? How are you going to make it through this next storm? But the Bible says your help is not just ordinary help. This isn't the weak arm of a relative who makes and breaks promises. This isn't even the well-intentioned desires of a friend, but they just can't quite meet the expectation and they come up short. This is the Almighty God. He's the one that helps, the God that made the universe, the God that formed the stars, is the God that won't fail in your storm. The God that created the sun is the God that won't fail in your circumstance. The God that created every mountain and every majestic peak that you've ever seen is the God that won't fail to move the emotional mountains in your life. Oh, He is the God that is going to be there. He's a God that won't fail you. He's a God that preserves His promises. He's a God that comes through when no one else can come through. So who have you been depending on? What have you been relying on? What disappointments do you carry around in your life because somebody told you they were going to be there for you and they couldn't show up? Or you've been stranded in a desert and you have been wondering in those parched moments why you can't depend on somebody or why somebody doesn't love you like you feel like you ought to be loved. And now you're stranded in this arid place. You're stranded in this emotional desolation. And yet I want you to know that the oasis of His omnipotence is very real. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This is the God that made heaven and earth. He can make a way of escape for you. This is a God that made heaven and earth. He can make a hope and bring you out of the darkest places, the deepest regions of regret. He can pull you out of any pit, lead you out of any wilderness. He can bring you out of any cave. So don't be discouraged, not another moment, but stand in the faith of Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then it goes on to say, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now that word slumber means to doze off. It means to be drowsy. It means to be very sleepy. Your God is not a sleepy God. Your God at the steering wheel of your circumstance is not going to run off the road because he's dozing off or because he's drowsy. God is not wearied by the wickedness of this world. God is not stressed out by the storms that we face. In fact, he is the creator of the thunder. He is the inventor of the lightning flashes in the night. He is the one that provides the pulsating electricity and energy of the entire universe. So God is not concerned about the things that you and I face, at least not from a standpoint of his strength to be able to help us overcome. So he's not going to get tired when you're attacked. He ain't going to get wore out when you're faced by mitigating circumstances in the world. He is not going to faint when he's looking at the foes that have surrounded you. No, he doesn't slumber nor sleep. He isn't drowsy, and he's not going to doze off. He's a God that is awakened by our cries. He's a God that hears our voices. This is something that David even said in Psalm chapter 3. He said, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. So God doesn't just reside in some far-off temple, but he actually comes close to our cries. He actually shows up on the property of our problems. He shows up in the territory of our storms. He walks with us in the dry places. He walks with us in the desert lands. He walks with us in the desolate places. So don't worry about whether God can handle the situation. In fact, in Deuteronomy 32, when the Lord is describing what kind of nation he found, the kind of people that he found, he didn't find a perfected people. He didn't find a people of military prowess. He didn't find a people even of outstanding number. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 that he said when he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. So this is what God wants you to understand, is that God is not intimidated by the time. He ain't intimidated by the trouble, and he certainly isn't intimidated by the tempter. He is an overcoming power, and his promises work. They are preserved in our faith. And sometimes you just have to continue to walk by faith. You can't look at what's going on visually around you. You can't listen to all of the negative things going on vocally around you. But you have to lift up your eyes. That's what the psalmist said. I will lift up mine eyes. That means we have to take an effort. We have to make an effort to be transcendent with our thinking, to change the perspective of our perception. We have to somehow stop focusing on all the mess around us, on all the interferences around us, on all the static of the ungodly reports and sinful analysis around us, and we have to lift up our eyes. We have to elevate the way that we think and see things the way that God sees them, or at least understand that that God is going to provide help for us, and he is not going to suffer our foot to be moved. That means if we're walking in that path of righteousness for his name's sake, he's got his hand upon us. He's going to keep us secure in his word. And even if we fall down, we know we can get back up and continue the journey, because this is not just a random road. This is not just an avenue of our own choice. This is not just a path of our own human engineering, but this is a path of his righteousness. These are the things that he has put together. This is a road and a path and an avenue that we're on that is by his divine design. And so he's not going to suffer your foot to be moved. Proverbs 3:26 says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So my friend, there's slippery slopes in this sinful generation. There are a smorgasbord of choices that can be made on the tables of temptation. There are a lot of perversive and persuasive speeches that are being given by political people and by celebrities and by talking heads and even by those who claim to be a Christian, and yet they're wolves in sheep's clothing because they really don't have a love of the truth. It's just like when David fought Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. The Lord allowed David to stay sure-footed, so much that he ran toward the giant and would sling that stone that would bring forth an incredible victorious moment. The destruction of the giant, the revelation of the anointing on David, because God kept his man and future king, he kept him sure-footed. It's just like when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, and the Bible talks about how that their sandals didn't wear out over the four decades that they traveled and journeyed, being led by the fire in the night and the cloud by the day. He kept his people sure-footed. The foundation of the Word of God that we stand on is a sure foundation. Apostle Peter said it's a sure word of prophecy. It's not mere human prognostication. It's not just the prediction of well-educated analysts or somebody who's studying percentages or stats. No, that's not God. The report of the Lord has 100% accuracy, and that's a foundation of faith that we stand on. So our foot cannot be moved when we're standing and believing and trusting in the Word of God. Again, that word says, "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now think about how God stays on alert 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the nation of Israel. That's an undying promise. That's a relentless pursuit of the Almighty God to fulfill what he promised to Abraham. And some of those promises have yet to be completely fulfilled. But we most likely will see them fulfilled in our day. So while Israel is under the constant threat of an Iranian attack, they are in constant exchange of weapons with Hamas and Hezbollah. They are battling in Gaza to try to set the hostages free. We have to understand that the Lord God Almighty has his host, his angels are involved, because that is a promised land. It's not the territory that can belong forever to the Gentiles. It is not a territory that can be falsely claimed Arabs, Muslims, or the Palestinians, but it is that which God is securing. And of course, we know there is coming a time in the probably very near future when an Antichrist kingdom and a power will come with empirical rule, and he'll come showing himself like a modern day Caesar, deifying himself. He will break a covenant with Israel. He'll turn on the Jews, and for a little while, Jerusalem's going to be under his control. But that's just a temporary setback, because the eternal circumstance is this: he keepeth Israel. He doesn't slumber or sleep. God is always on alert. The enemy's not going to sneak up on God. Anything that the Antichrist spirit does in this hour will be something that the Lord allows for the absolute perfection and the proving of his own will. Because when all is said and done, the Bible tells us in Zechariah 14 that his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. My friend, that's describing the cataclysmic, absolutely thrilling moment when the Lord Jesus Christ literally comes and returns to the Mount of Olives. And when he does, he will forever reign over Jerusalem. Jerusalem will never again be in the hand of a Gentile power, because the times of the Gentiles will have come to an end, and the eternal reign that will begin with the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, that will have begun. Now, not to get you bogged down in eschatology today, but I'm just proving a point. That he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And if he feels that way about the physical posterity and the physical nation of Israel, how much more does he feel about his spiritual seed, the church of the living God? And you, my friend, are a spiritual child of Abraham. He's not going to abandon you to the howling wolves of this hour. He is not going to forsake you to the predators and the perverse spirits of this generation that want to destroy. In fact, he said, they make and kill the body, but they can't really touch the soul. That soul belongs to God. That is in the jurisdiction of the Almighty God. That's why he said, don't fear the one that can kill the body, but the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. My friend, your soul belongs to God. You have God's attention. Remember earlier when I quoted out of Deuteronomy 32, how he kept him as the apple of his eye? You know what that meant? The apple of his eye meant that that's the most tender and the most significant part of the eye and the focus. It simply means that Israel kept God's attention. He was the center. Israel was the center of God's attention. And that's the way he feels about you. That's the way he feels about the church. You are the center of his attention. Not what sinners are doing, not what backsliders have said, not what the apostates are strategizing to do to tear people down and to destroy family structures. No, the center of God's attention is the church of the living God. And the scripture goes on to say that the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Now think about that. There is an emphasis here on who your helper is. It's the helper that created heaven. It's the helper that's going to hold you up. It's the helper that's going to hear you when you cry. God is going to attend to the needs of his people, even when it feels like you're all alone, even when it feels like you're overlooked, unloved, neglected, unseen, maybe forgotten about, but that's not God. The Bible says the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. That means even in a literal sense, when the children of Israel were wandering in that wilderness on those hot days when the sun was beating down on them, he would provide a cloud. He would be their shade. Think about that. The Almighty God would take time to provide shade so that the temperature would be pleasant and the weather would be nice for the journeys of his people. And spiritually applied to us today, God knows exactly where you are on your journey. He knows exactly the heat of hatred and the degrees of animosity. He knows the furnace of the enemy's attack and what has been prepared and what has been increased against you to try to tear you down. He understands this, and he'll be your shade. In other words, he's got you covered. God is not going to leave you stranded in the storm, stranded in your stress, stranded in these moments when you feel like you are without strength, because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. So stand on that word, because it's the Lord. It's the Lord who is thy keeper. So it goes on to say in Psalm 121 that the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Think about that. No matter what time of day it is, no matter the trouble of the night, no matter the hard labor of trying to journey on and get to your spiritual destination and all that has to be faced in the heat of the day and the heat of the battles that you have to fight, or the loneliness of the night, those agonizing nights, those long nights, sometimes of weeping. And yet the scripture says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He's going to dry away those tears. He's going to secure you in a place of comfort and confidence. He's going to give you a place to rest. It's just like David said in Psalm chapter 3. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. What he was meaning is that while he was even surrounded by his enemies, he knew for a certainty that God was watching over him. So that could let him rest. Maybe you, in a very real sense, maybe you've had too many sleepless nights, but I speak serenity into your spirit. I speak rest into your room. I speak a word of faith and peace to prevail over the things that are tormenting and troubling you and keeping you awake at night, and that you can be able to say, like the confident psalmist said, and that it can be a prophetic tone in your spirit when you rest in the night, I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. He's the one that's keeping me. He's the one that's providing for me. He's my protector. Is there a better shield? Is there a better buckler against all of the blasphemy of this hour that wants to tear down, that wants to bring scandals against the church of the living God, that wants to bring ill repute against that excellent name that is above every name, the name of Jesus? No, my friend. He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He's got you covered no matter where you're at, no matter how many shadows of shame or valleys of the shadow of death that you have to walk through. You're going to get there. His rod and his staff are going to be with you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to give you confidence. He's going to maintain that calling in your life, and you're going to make it to your destination. You just pick up one foot and put it in front of the other. You take one more step and that proverbial simplicity of the gospel of Christ, and you know that nothing of this generation, there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper when you are preserved by the promises of the Lord. Again, this is no ordinary help. This is the kind of help you need. This is the kind of provider you need. The scripture goes on to say that the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Sometimes the enemy will try to pick on that one area of your life, that one weakness, that one crack in the wall, or that one opening in your spirit, and suddenly you feel lost, or you feel like a sheep that has been plucked out of the flock, and here you are trying to figure out how to find your way back or find your way out of the circumstances, and you don't know which way to turn or who to listen to or what to even believe anymore. But I want you to sometimes think about putting down the worldly books that you're reading and pick that Bible up again and let that empowering, encouraging, edifying Word of God, let it infuse something into your spirit that creates a durability of your faith, that creates a spiritual stamina that won't fade, because you know that the Lord, He's the one who is going to preserve your soul. Now think about that when you're facing contradictions. Maybe you're facing a recurring sickness, or maybe it's an ongoing conflict in a relationship, or something that you have repeatedly wept and prayed about before God, and you keep it on the altar, and it seems like it's just an endless repetition of the same prayer request. But the Bible says, the Lord shall keep thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. So He's going to preserve you from all evil. And yet you may say, well, why am I under attack? But think about it. At the end of the day, the greatest preservation is the preservation of your soul. Because eventually, no matter how long we live, if the Lord tarries, you're going to come to a moment of death. It's appointed unto men once to die. So every person, unless the rapture takes place in the next few moments, eventually comes to that point where they're going to have to be laid in a grave somewhere. There's going to be a funeral. There's going to be a coffin. There's going to be a cemetery. There's going to be likely a tombstone with your name on it. But your soul is everlasting. He shall preserve thy soul. And then the scripture says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's the God that has made promises to you, my friend, through His word. This is the kind of help you need. It's not the help that'll leave you stranded. Jesus said in John 14, I give you a different kind of peace. It's not the kind of peace that the world gives. The world is constantly negotiating peace contracts that end up getting broken sometimes within weeks of the negotiations. How many times have we seen the tension in the Middle East come up with some pseudo temporary peace? It may even last a few years, but then it comes right back to the cauldron of conflict. It comes right back to the same old screams of satanic agendas to wipe the Jews off the map. So my friend, you have a God that isn't just about the right now. He's about the forevermore. That's why it says from this time forth and even forevermore. I want you to mark the moment of this misery or temptation or trial that you're in, because you're not staying there. It's from this time forth. You keep moving. Your faith is mobile. You have to run this race with patience. You got to keep striving for that next mile marker in the Spirit. Or as Paul said in the book of Philippians, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't give up. Go on. Don't stay down. Get up and believe that from this time forth, from this moment of sickness, from this particular day of a dilemma and pain and the aggression of the enemy and the attack on your good reputation or condemnation or shame that constantly crops up like old weeds you can't get rid of, you just remember, you keep walking by faith, you keep moving forward, because the Lord Jesus Christ, He will always be the kind of help you need. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.